We celebrate God's inbreaking into human history in flesh, in the incarnation in Jesus Christ. Advent is also a season of preparation where we confess our sins and we turn to God in repentance. That's why purple is often a color for the season of Advent, because purple reminds us of repentance and things like that. As we repent and prepare for Christ's second coming, His return. But not only are we to prepare for Christ's return, we also hope for it. We long for it, especially when we see the pains and struggles of the day and the awful news that we seem to be getting more and more from our nation, our world, our families. As people suffer, we long for Christ's return, so that what is and was inaugurated on Christmas can then be brought to full completion at Christ's return. Last weekend, Annie and the kids and I had the chance to go to the farm for Thanksgiving out in eastern North Dakota. And as we drove from here, from western North Dakota to eastern North Dakota, I had this gospel passage in mind, this passage that talks about roads being made flat and terrain being made flat. Because as you drive from west to east, there are fewer hills to swerve around, fewer hills to drive over, fewer valleys to go down and under. The roads get more and more laid out in like a grid-like fashion. As you see the farms on left and right, it looks like you're driving across a checkerboard at times. And I swear there's stretches on the way to the farm on Highway 32 or 18 where you can set your cruise and take a nap. Provided your car's steering is accurately aligned, you will just stay on the road. It's so flat and level and just clear. It feels like this passage where it's practically impossible to get lost. But we know that so much of the world isn't like that, and we know that our lives, if they were to be looked at as though a topographical map, are not as clean and orderly. Our lives feel often, and the world especially, feels so much more like a wilderness. And in the Gospels and throughout Scripture, wilderness is described as a place that is desolate and often lonely. It is the wild, where wild beasts roam. In some places, it talks about the wilderness as though it is a place where God does not go. It's outside of God's control. It makes me think of a drive I took to a camp once to attend a conference. It was I think it was a Girl Scout camp. And it was out in the wilderness of Minnesota, and you could show me a map of Minnesota, and I'd have no idea where it was. It was just pure wilderness. And to get to the main part of camp meant navigating one of the most winding, turny, just haphazard road that I have ever been on. It was bumpy. It was pothole filled. To call it a gravel road would be generous. There were literally baseball and softball sized like river stone strewn about the roads. It was just the most awful thing to travel on. In fact, when I got back to Grand Forks after the conference was over, I filled with gas, and the road was so bad that as I was filling with gas, gas started pouring out from the bottom of my car. The road had punctured something in the fuel system. It was so bad. Life often feels more like that, like the wild, like a road that is untended, untenable, just haphazard, unpassable. And when it all comes down to it, absolutely broken. When we look at the events of San Bernardino or Paris, or the crisis that the world is experiencing in human trafficking, or when we think about refugees that are everywhere and the question about what to do about them, we can see the world is broken. Right now, the big issue of the day is gun control, and it just, to me, it highlights just the brokenness of the world in general. And we might have opinions on one side or the other that doesn't really matter, because what matters is the fact that people are broken. People are sinners. And there are so many people with hearts out there that are wilderness, that have not heard the word of the Lord, that have not repented and confessed of their sin, and we do violent things. Our own pride, our addictions, our anger, our selfishness, our greed, our messed up relationships, they're all evidence of brokenness, of people living in the wilderness. But listen again to our gospel. And specifically listen to where God sends his word. In the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, Pontius Pilate being governor of Judea, Herod being tetrarch of Galilee, his brother Philip, tetrarch of the region of Iturea and Trachonitis, and Lysanias, tetrarch of Abilene, during the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, and we'll pause there for a second. The only thing you need to know about those names is this, that they are the rich, they are the powerful, they are the authorities of the known world. The authorities, the high people in power over Rome, over Judea and Jerusalem, and the place where Jesus is focused. Annas and Caiaphas are the high priests of the Jewish religion at that time. We'll see their names in John as people that were instrumental in crucifying Christ. But the word of God doesn't come to them. During that time, the word of God came to John, the son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. The word of God didn't come to the people in power. It came to John in the wilderness. It comes right into the desolate, lonely, and wild places. The word of God comes right into the brokenness of the world, the brokenness of our lives. And this word has the power to affect people, to change them, to mold them, to create them into something new. Of John's preaching, we hear this, the prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. John is preaching to the people in the wilderness a message of repentance. He is laying out the law of the Lord to them, saying, you are sinners. And because of your sin, you are broken. Your heart is bad. It is black. It is broken. The word condemns us, shows us who we are, and it's not a good thing. And it calls us, though, to be sorrowful over our sin, to turn away from our sin. But then John gives promise, too. He gives them the law, and then he gives them the gospel. Because to those who hear and receive this word of the Lord, they also receive the promise that every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be made low. That's promise. The crooked, the broken, shall be made straight. Into the darkness of the world comes the word. And those who hear the word and repent, turn from their sin, are made new through the forgiveness of Jesus Christ, the salvation of the Lord. The word of God made flesh for us. Through that broken Word of God, that broken flesh of Christ on the cross, you and I are then made whole. This is the season of Advent. And we can't have Christmas without Advent. Christmas without Advent is not the whole story. There's something missing then. You don't get the good ending. Christ came at Christmas to begin his good work of redemption. But clearly, that work is not yet fully realized. We see that in our lives in the news. You are forgiven. You are made new. You are called a child of God. But yet you and I still struggle with that sinner within us, that old self. And the world still struggles. And so during Advent, we are reminded again that we still need Christ. We need the hope of Christ in this world. And we need the words that we hear from Philippians, our passage in Philippians, verse 6, I believe it is, that gives us this hope that the one who began this good work among you will bring it to completion by the day of Jesus Christ. At times it might feel that God has abandoned this world, but his word tells us differently, that God is still working in us and still bringing things to completion. To those who are in Christ, who have recognized themselves as being sinful and have repented of their sin, you have hope. Because in Christ you have seen the salvation of God, and to you has been given the promise that every valley shall be filled, and every mountain shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight. Let us pray. Gracious Lord, we give you thanks for the work of Jesus Christ. We thank you for the Word of God made flesh, brought down to us as we will celebrate soon on Christmas Day. And we thank you, Lord, for your timing. And though we are really impatient about your return, we do know that we are hopeful because of it, and that you have not abandoned us or this world. Help us, Lord, to have faith in you, to know that you will bring all things to completion. We pray this in your name. Amen.